We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
So let's talk about the quarterbacks today, Sean. So we kept stats from today's practice, and here's what I have. I have Steve Angeli going 11 of 18 for 149 yards, zero touchdowns, two interceptions. I have CJ Carr going 7 of 13 for 84 yards, one touchdown, and then he had also a rushing touchdown. I had Kenny Minchie at 4 of 8 for 33 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, and a rushing touchdown. So let's dive in. You got the numbers. Let's dive into the specific play, because I think the numbers can be a bit misleading on how well some of the guys played compared to another guy. But the big thing about the quarterbacks today, though, is the turnovers. Talk about learning lessons, Sean. Big lessons today from the Notre Dame quarterbacks when it comes to turnovers. But it also shows that every time, every interception, the first two interceptions were as much about DB, veteran DBs baiting young quarterbacks into mistakes. And that's going to be something where, as I said before, I can live with those mistakes to a degree now, because you're going to learn that lesson about, okay, I can't just make a pre-snap decision on a wide, on a middle of the field boundary throw, you know, throw to my boundary receiver, because that gives that corner a lot more room to work. And so that's obviously a big thing, is they're going to have to clean that up. But I do think over what we did see today is with the young quarterbacks, we'll talk kind of broadly, and then we'll dive into some specifics about what we saw from them. But in my opinion, CJ Carr was clearly the best quarterback that they had.
Yeah, he definitely played. He played better. You talk about the context of the Angeli one post snap. You have to see that. You have to recognize that. I think where you are in the field, because they have been playing similar coverage in the middle of the field. And once you get into the red zone, you have to know space is starting to be more compact. Now, these defensive backs can take more of a chance,
right,
come up and not give as much cushion, right, or to, you know.
All right, so let's just dive into that then. We'll talk about Steve first and the mistake, yeah, and those type of things. So the play Sean's talking about, basically they were running an RPO. They're running a it was an inside zone. It looked like, I think it was inside zone run. Yeah. And Steve read RPO and he pulled it and threw it. Now, I actually don't have a big problem with him making that decision. He had another RPO decision later where that was a mistake. He was running an inside zone. He pulled it to get outside to throw an under route, and he got tackled for a minus 4 yard gain by the defensive end. If you, Bubakar, it was a great play by Bubakar, but if the defensive end tackles the quarterback on an on a read zone play, you made the wrong read as a quarterback. That's just, that just can't happen otherwise. But what happened was, is Jaden Mickey was playing off coverage pre-snap, and it was a middle of the field throw. Now, boundary, if I'm on the hash, and I have that same read, at best, all Jaden Mickey could have done on that play is break it up at best. And it might have even actually been a, you catch it and it's a tackle for a 4 yard gain.
Right.
Most likely it's kind of broken up. But because you're middle of the field, and this is that field awareness you talk about, Sean, the situational awareness, you have to know that's a further throw. Meaning I've got to make sure that I properly read this. So what happens is the guy's off, he pulls it, and I'm throwing the hitch route. Because it was a further throw, that allowed Jaden Mickey to bait him. He baited him into the pull with his pre-snap alignment, and the mistake Steve made is Steve didn't read it post-snap. And that was Steve's problem all day. His post-snap reads far too often, not always, far too often, were not good. And on this particular play, Jaden baits him into the pull, but he's got to see Jaden is squatting on that route. And yes, you could bang it if you throw it to the outfield side shoulder, like the sideline shoulder on a boundary throw. You could probably still hit that or prevent it from being picked. But when you're throwing that from the middle of the field over, that's a problem. Yeah. And Jaden baited him. And the other problem, too, is I don't know that that's a pick for Kenny or CJ. And this is what I was saying to you up in the booth. This is where Steve's throwing motion hurts him. On that type of throw, because he has a much longer, you know, motion where Kenny is boom, CJ is boom, Riley is I'm out. He is more, Steve is more that old school drop it and throw it. That extra split second of my release is longer than yours is the difference between a pass breakup and a pick six. So three mistakes. Number one is he's just got a longer throwing motion, which doesn't hurt him if he knows that. You got to know who you are. Hey, look, I can't get that ball out as quickly as CJ and this guy can, right? And so that just there's several mistakes on that play. Mm-hmm. But here's what I love. He's going to get in the film room and Gino's going to walk him through.
Yeah.
Okay, your pre-snap read was okay, but here's why you threw the pick six here. And Steve will learn from it. But you saw some of the limitations with him today. When the bullets were a little bit more live and a little bit more talented than the kids he was going against.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know what? I'm going to pull out something. You know, this is something we, both of us, you know, stand is not always about commission. It's sometimes it's about omission, right? And I'm going to throw out the interception because I thought coming from the five, I saw a lot of good stuff from Steve on that particular drive that just happened to end with that one bad decision. And it's like, oh, man, you really had something going there. We saw multiple plays where it was omission that really stood out.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that was a good throw to that, but you had that.
Right.
Like, that was a good decision, but you had that.
That's yes, that's a very good point, Sean. And this is something that when you talk about and you go through and you look at Steve's play today, it started right away. First play of the game, miss snag, right? They're running a snag concept. He doesn't see the receiver working in wide open over the middle. The issue that Steve had today is far too, and this has been an issue really for him last year, and it's an issue for him now. And this is what people need to understand. When you're playing against second teamers and mop up minutes and you're playing against a completely depleted Oregon State team, they're not going to force you to go away from your number one read very often because they can't cover your number one read. Well, this Notre Dame secondary can. And so he has to go through his progressions better. At times he did, but honestly, the success he had today, Sean, most of it was with his number one read. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm locked in on Jaden. When he hit Jaden Greathouse, it's because Jaden Greathouse was the number one read, right? The option route is the number one read. The out cut, he was the number one read. You know, he threw and that's when Steve had success. I believe he threw the ball. Let me look it up here. The one I have marked down by quarterback. I believe he threw the ball to Chris Mitchell. Let me see here. Where was 10? Let me see here. Yeah, Steve was the quarterback. He threw the hitch route. They ran a slot fade. The corner sank, and he saw it and immediately he got his eyes on the one read, corner sank, and he snapped it off far field throw to because it's a post snap. It's a like the problem with the RPO is a lot of times with young quarterbacks, when the RPO they view as a pre snap read, but you also have to post snap read it so you don't get baited for a pick six. Well, on a slot fade, there's your pre snap is only identifying who your read key is. That's all you're doing. So the read key is who you identify, but your read is actually post snap. So when you're running slot fade, and this is why you need to watch the breakdown, it's you're reading that corner. Well, on that play, the corner bailed, and Steve immediately hit that 1-2, got the ball out quickly to Chris Mitchell. Why does that matter? Because what that allowed Chris Mitchell to do is catch the ball 5 yards down the field, square up, and then make a defender miss and pick up 20. So that little 5-yard throw turns into a 20-yard throw because you got the ball out quickly. And another great throw that Steve made today was on another snag concept where he hit Jaden Greathouse on a corner route. But he got his eyes on the corner came up and sank, and he hit Jaden on it. But then he had another read later where the corner sank back, but Steve was locked in on Jaden Greathouse, and he threw in a double coverage. So when he did well today, it's when he – and that was the biggest difference between him and C.J. Carr today. the junior CJ made several big throws today where it was very clear that was his third read. The end cut he hit Chris Mitchell on. It was his third read. It was him moving, finding that backside dig cut and hitting it.
Same thing to the tight end down inside the 10.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And whereas with Steve, his really good throws, and he made the wide fade stop route, the wide stop route to Eli Raritan. That was a really good throw, but that was his initial read. Right. That's where he needs to go. And so that's where Steve really struggled with today, was really when he had to process, because there were too many times, you know, as you were talking, Sean, like there were too many times. Let me pull up the breakdowns by quarterback. That's the one by receiver. So let me get to Steve's section on this. Miss snag, 19 wide open on the wide fade, 19 open on the seam, pick six, bad RPO read on, you know, bad read hitch open on an incomplete pass to Jaden Greathouse. There were too many snaps like that where you got to know that that's not there, because you've got to read it. And the issue is Steve was locking in, and then there were times he was just kind of taking the slide on the snag. The slide was there. He threw it, 2 yard gain. Mm-hmm. Right. But you need to know if this guy's flying out on the slide, even if the slide has a step on him, you've got to know that snag is coming right open behind it. You got to know that and hit that. You've got to know based on this coverage, I've got to look for this route over here. But he would just kind of lock in on that one route and throw it. And when that guy was open, looked good. When he wasn't, it wasn't good. And that's where Steve's got to get better. And that's I would say, probably if you're a Steve Angeli fan, that's got to be the most disappointing part of today's day, is that the freshman did a better job going through progressions than you did. And that's something he's going to have to get.
That really should be your strength.
Right.
As the least physically gifted guy.
Right.
Like anticipation, post-snap, pre-snap, those reads, being in the offense, playing more snaps, that should be the strength. Like that should be something we shouldn't have to worry about you doing. That mistake right there, we shouldn't have to worry about that. The physical stuff, the ball not being able to get to a certain place before the defender is able to knock it down and have a PBU, okay. That's fine. We understand that. Or you not being able to throw the ball long enough, you know, and it gets broken up. Limitations. Right. We have the efficiency, though. But like the numbers you said, he once again, he was literally, this is, you know, I guess I'm trying to make it sound better for the kid. He literally was two bad decisions away from having a really good day. He really was, because both of the bad.
Well, I would still be. You know me. I'd still be.
You know, because about the omissions and the missed opportunities. Right. Because,
well, you know what it is, Sean. He's two bad reads away from no one believing anything we said about the missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. The two interceptions are going to wake people up to like, wow, that's you know, numbers aren't, you know, numbers look good. 11 of 18 for 140 some yards, but the two picks were big. Mm-hmm. But it's why I say is numbers can absolutely lie to you if you're not using them in the proper context, because anyone that's looking at the numbers in the proper context is going to say, yeah, but what should they have been? Yeah, you went 11 of 18 for however many yards, but you should have been 14 of 18 for 230 yards.
And two touchdowns.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so those are and Kenny had some of that a little bit today too, but in Kenny's defense, here's the big difference. Kenny was getting pressured every time he dropped back to throw the football.
Man.
He didn't have time to go to his second read. He really didn't. And that's the thing that I thought hurt him a little bit today was that right there. I mean, you know, they ran a tunnel screen. Go ahead.
No, because you're about to lead into it. Go right ahead.
Yeah, like they had a tunnel screen today that Kenny was 4 of 8 for 33 yards. But like one of his incompletions was they threw a tunnel screen that Jordan Clark just blew up to Jaden Greathouse. You know, here's another one, like it's incomplete pass on verticals, 40 pressure. You know, here we go. Here's another one. 14 go route incomplete, 14 didn't compete for the ball. You know, it's scramble plus 19, scramble plus 9 because of pressures. You know, three smoked 59, one slot fire on a sack. I mean, it just was kind of all day. You were seeing Kenny just didn't have a lot of time to get the ball out. The couple times he did get time, I thought he handled himself pretty well. You talked about his first drive of the game, first play, minus one, second play, sack, third play, sack. They have to start the drive over again, go back to first and 10, because they were only running six plays at a time at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go inside zone, and then he comes out, hits Cam Williams on a stop route. It was a great read, just saw it. Cam got to the top, went to, and I think that was his second read on that, his second progression, I believe, on that play. Hits Cam outside on the stop route. And on the very next play, they're running the snag concept. And he does what I didn't like that Steve did. You know, sees the tight end running, but he waited, let Cam get open on that snag, and he banged it right behind him, and Cam picks up seven compared to the two that you got earlier when you threw to the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point, right? That's a five-yard difference. Same concept, same read, five-yard difference. And so those are things to me, Sean, that you saw from Kenny, where he did show some of that. But honestly, part of Kenny's day is an incomplete, because we didn't get a chance to see him get to go through his progressions the way CJ and Steve did, because it just so happened that when he was in the game, the offensive line had some issues. And this is true when he was with the first team offensive line.
Yeah.
Because he had a series with the first team offensive line as well. And it just, they didn't do a great job of protecting him in those matchups. I'll say this, the one series where he was with the ones, mm-hmm. he led them on a touchdown.
Yeah.
So they had an incomplete pass on the first play. He scrambled for 9 yards on the next play. They converted a third and one. He hit the three-yard completion to Cooper Flanagan. They had the go throw that got broken up. Then he hit a slot fade hitch route to K.K. Smith for 10. They ran an inside zone for 11. That's when Jeremiah Love ran over Adon Shuler. And then the next play, they're running a Y under, you know.
Jet sweep zone.
Right. Ran jet sweep away. It was actually a play action pass. You fake jet sweep one way, and then you run the little Y under screen the other way. They flew out with the Y under. Kenny held it. You knew he was letting himself clear. And as soon as he cleared, he planted his foot, got vertical, ran in for a touchdown. And he had to split two defenders as well to get there, because they had two guys collapsing on him. You know, so like the one series, he gets somewhat level of protection. He leads the offense down for a touchdown. And so that was good to see. But I believe that was his only drive with it. Now, on the pick six, I don't know specifically what happened, like as far as the mistake was, but essentially he had Cooper Flanagan running a route against the safety, and Cooper Flanagan ran vertical. Kenny clearly thought he was running a breakoff route. Mm-hmm. He threw the breakoff route as Cooper kept running. Xavier Watts just kept coming down and picked it off. Now, I don't know if it, one of two things was happening on this one. Number one, either Cooper ran the wrong route and Kenny threw it where Cooper was supposed to go and it was a mistake. That's option one. Option two is it was an option route and Cooper saw the safety coming down and he ran vertical like he should have if it was an option route, and Kenny misread it and threw the pick.
Yeah.
Either way, somebody made a mistake. I don't know who it was. I can't tell you. I don't want to say it was Kenny because I don't know. I don't want to say it was Cooper because I don't know. I'd have to know the play call. But what I know is there was clearly a miscommunication where the quarterback thought the receiver was running one, or the tight end was running one thing. It's also a great play by Xavier Watts.
Yeah, it was. I think
made him into that throw and then closed down on it, pick it off.
I think there's a positive you can pull from that, which is, in my opinion, is totally different than the Steve Angeli interception. Either mm-hmm. one, because I think the second one was worse than the first one.
Oh,
I'm sure we're gonna get to the second one.
The first one, really honestly, was a really good job by Jaden Mickey,
mm-hmm.
baiting him into that throw and then breaking on it. I mean, like, yes, Steve has to make a better read and not get, but part of that is if Jaden doesn't bait him into that with what he did pre and post snap, it's a handoff and they run for 4 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, the second one, Sean, I'll let you get into it. That was just flat out. I still
don't get to that, but the one with Kenny and Cook, that at least I feel like, okay, we both saw, but we had different interpretations of what X was doing.
Right.
Like we both saw it coming pre-snap. You thought you should keep the vertical. I thought you were going to break it down. That's something we'll go back. We'll talk about that in film, wrap it up. And we'll be fine, right? Because we both saw the same thing. It's not, we both saw the same thing. We just interpreted it different. Right. And we were off. If they were on, that's a touchdown. Like Cooper probably.
If Kenny knew, as long as Kenny knew that it was an option.
Yeah.
Correct.
It has the possibility of being a touchdown.
Because he goes like this, Xavier jumps it, and then he just
throws it over the top of him. Absolutely. So that is a positive we can pull from that. But like you said, without knowing what the call was, check and everything, but that's something you can clean up. Now we go to the second interception. They're literally at what, the 13-yard line? Another good drive, but Steven Jelly has the offense going in. And then they run it was a bootleg to the right. And I saw Greathouse. It was actually really good coverage on Greathouse because he was coming up and then he was running an out route.
And on that last pick?
Yeah, on the last pick.
They high-load Greathouse.
They high-load.
Some kind of quick cross concept, and they played great. I mean, they played great.
Okay, great. And I think there was somebody coming backside that maybe he could have waited on, but that's just a play like, yo, you tip your cap to defense, throw that out the back of the end zone.
Right, but Sean, Jalen Seed wasn't even covering Jaden Greathouse. That's the thing I still don't understand. It's like he threw that ball like he had no idea Jalen Seed was there. Like it literally hit him right in the chest. Like it wasn't even like he got baited. Jaden Greathouse was standing right in between him and the receiver, and he just threw it right on the line, right into his chest. I still don't know what he was thinking. Like, I still don't know that if he even saw Jalen Snead. I don't. And that was the thing, is like, you saw some of the limitations with Steve today. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. You saw some of the limitations. You saw he has a slower release. You know, he's never been forced to go through reads the way he was today. Mm-hmm. He wasn't forced to do that in the bowl game. Notre Dame completely outclassed Oregon State in the bowl game. And today he had to go through different progressions, and he just didn't throw the ball very well. Kenny, to me, is still a little bit of a work in progress in that regard, but it was really hard to evaluate Kenny because of just the circumstances. That brings us to CJ Carr. CJ had his mistakes as well. We'll get those. I mean, he made a really good read on a post-snap switch with the X and the tight end. He had Deion Colsey coming open over the middle, Sean, and he just missed him.
Just missed him,
Just sailed it. It's a ball he's got to hit. Got to hit that throw. And there was a couple other times where, you know, you had a throwaway in there. But the thing I loved about CJ, Sean, is when I'm going through his progressions today, here's one of his incompletions. Snagged, well-covered, scramble, throwaway. You know, looking at another one, little 4-yard completion on a slant route to Jeremiah Love. I liked that. Threw a go ball to Deion Colsey that was well covered. Kind of, it looked like a bit of a throwaway to me, to be honest with you. Throws another go ball, a fade ball in the end zone to Deion Colsey that I actually thought was a pretty good ball, but Deion just didn't really battle for it. Just didn't really go up and compete for the ball, which was just disappointing to see, because that was a great opportunity for Deion against a 5'11 corner to go up, outplay the guy for the ball. And he just, I don't know if he didn't see it, because like all three of the plays where the guys didn't compete for the ball were in the same spot in the end zone. And I'm like, was the sun in their eyes or something? Like, legitimately, because it all happened at that same exact spot. Same area. Right corner end zone, looking back towards the scoreboard. I really wonder if they just didn't see the ball, because it was with two different quarterbacks, three different receivers, and it was Cam Williams on one, Deion Coles on another, Micah Gilbert on another. I really wonder if they just didn't see the ball.
Yeah.
But that was another one, and then he had the one that hit Cam Williams in the hands that he tried to be too cute with it and didn't catch it. That should have been – Cam should have had two touchdowns today.
Yeah, easily.
That was on him. And then he you had some of those kind of throws. I had one – here's my one on the Deion Coles. It says bad ball, good read. You know, I mean, that's the thing, you know, and
but you get that with a youngster, right?
Right.
Just the inconsistency. I think he missed another one high to the right.
That was the one to Deion that I thought was a throwaway.
Yeah.
Because they had Deion kind of bracketed, and I just think he read pre-snap, I'm going here, and then the defense rolled, and he saw the roll and just – because, like, what can happen is if you pick, I'm throwing the backside go ball. And then they roll to something different. You're done. Kudos to them. They won that chess match. And I thought he kind of just threw that. Maybe Deion can go make a hero play, but I looked more like a throwaway to me, because they adjusted their coverage to him, is what it looked like.
I love with him and also Kenny. I think something that stood out really for the entire room. I think the most impressive play for me, CJ, that post route to Cam Williams, that's the play. Talk about those two talented kids. That's a layup.
Yes.
I mean, dude, you get backside, you give him that.
But he read it. That's the thing for me.
That's the thing.
He read it.
So that's impressive. For me, the pass he made late, I think it was like the last series where he led them to a touchdown. When he reads late, it might have been his third read. The tight end coming across, and he has to scramble and move up into the pocket, and he's going throwing it against his body because he's moving to the right coming up.
You talk about the one near the
coming
goal.
Across, yeah.
Tight end. Dude, that was the Jack Polian.
Yeah.
That's the thing, he led the
third team
offense
to a
touchdown. He threw that to a walk, and this is no shot at Jack Polian. Jack Polian's a nice little player, but he threw that to a walk-on, Sean. That's my whole point. And threw it, hit him right in the chest. I mean, he was rolling left, had to flip back, pressure's coming around him, and he comes back to his backfield, backside read to hit that ball. The throw to Chris Mitchell on the end cut, that was not his number one read. It was not his number one read. And that's the thing that was so impressive about how CJ played today. Because to your point, the 21-yard pass, it got him to the 1 yard line. The very next play, they ran read zone from the goal line, and CJ walks into the end zone. So that was his second touchdown. But like the it was a where was that throw? It was a 17-yard gain to Chris Mitchell, left to right, and he just it was not his primary read. You saw that it was not his primary read. He goes here and then immediately comes back and hits that in cut. And it was actually pretty well defended. And I think it might have been Jaden Mickey on him. It was pretty well defended. He just put that ball right on. He made Chris Mitchell square up with the throw, and he put it right on Chris Mitchell's between his numbers to where the corner couldn't make a play on the ball.
Right.
And just, you know,
Good play, good catch, good contest.
Great read, great ball. Great catch.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot you can do about that.
Absolutely.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The pocket movement, in my opinion, especially from the two young guys, because you talked about the consistent pressure that Kenny stayed, in my opinion, he stayed poised.
He did.
He saw some early pressure that could have rattled him, but he responded.
Yeah.
He stayed poised. He was cool. And he used it. We saw more mobility from him.
Yes.
Than we saw last year. And that
his senior year of high school.
Absolutely.
Right. That was an encouraging sign. And not just the scrambles, Sean. It was also the sliding away from pressure and stepping into pressure.
Yep.
The one difference between the two of them that I saw is once Kenny got outside, he was looking to run.
Right.
Where CJ did a better job of keeping his – like the one play – you remember this play, Sean? I was looked at you. I said, corner's playing this way, safety's playing this way. You throw the go ball right now.
Yeah.
And CJ got pressured. He couldn't throw the go ball because the pressure came, but he rolled left. And CJ, Cam didn't know what to do. Cam was like in no man's land. And CJ points right. He goes, boom. And Cam, as soon as CJ pointed, Cam broke off his route, came back, and CJ threw it. Cam catches on the sideline for a 17-yard gain. Like, that's a freshman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a freshman doing that, Sean. And look, CJ's still a work in progress like every freshman, but that was a throw. That was a throw you looked at, but like that was an impressive.
And that's something we saw from both,
which
is youth, right? Kenny and CJ, opportunities pre-snap where both of us are sitting there like, okay, that's the read.
Right.
Let's get to your back foot, let it ride.
And, you know, And Sean, that's what was so disappointing about Kenny Minchie's performance, not his fault, but because the pressure from the defense, we didn't get it. Because one thing I've been told about Kenny since they landed him was this kid's, and we didn't hear this. I'm not talking about from Notre Dame people. I'm talking about from people at the Elite 11. Like, this kid on the board is the smartest kid we had at Elite 11 this year. Like, this kid understands. But you just never got a chance to see Kenny go through his progressions because he never had time to get to his second progression because of the offensive line just wasn't giving him time.
Yeah.
But, you know, to your point, he still made, he didn't put up great numbers today, but the throws he made allowed them to go on scoring drives. I mean, he led them on a touchdown drive, and it wasn't, there was like, when you look at that particular drive, Sean, it wasn't like Kenny made any bomb throws, but it just was like, you know, little check here, riding out his inside zone action to freeze that backside end to not crash on the inside zone, you know, reading the flat defender appropriately and getting downfield. And that's why I also wish Micah Gilbert would have competed for that go ball better, because that should have been a touchdown pass by Kenny. That was a great ball.
That was a great ball. Great ball. So like you said, you're talking about the level of play by our two youngsters. And we said this as we walked out of the stadium. Like, we could sit here and critique, sell that. Like, whatever you want to say, you pick and choose. Whoever you pick and choose to be the floor in that quarterback room. No.
You got a good room.
And you got a darn good room.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't care how it plays out. I feel good about however it plays out. Like, you have your preferences.
You talking about the two youngers?
No, I'm just sitting here saying.
I'm just clear. Are you talking about the two younger guys you don't care how it plays out, or the whole offense?
No. I mean, you can pick both. I don't care how it plays out.
What I'm saying is, when you say you don't care how it plays out, are you talking about between the two young guys or all three of them?
As far as this season?
In either.
I have a preference. Like, I have a preference. That, like, I think Notre Dame, of course, that's including the guy that didn't play today.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, take him out of the equation.
Yeah. If I'm taking him out of the equation, for me, it doesn't change. Like, I don't want to preheat the oven too fast for CJ. Like, if CJ in the middle of the season is ready to go, fine. Do I want him to start the very first game? No, I don't.
I get that. My question was, you said you don't care how it plays out. I'm simply looking for clarification. Are you talking about between Kenny and CJ, or between Kenny, CJ, and Steve?
I'm trusting the staff for what's best.
Okay.
I don't care. I have a team that I know.
I'm with you when it comes to the two younger guys. I don't care how it plays out between Kenny and CJ.
Going into the regular season, you can win with that quarterback. A decision has to be made a la Clemson. What do we need to do to win it?
Right.
That's
why I care. Be
made in season.
That's why I care the decision that's made. Because you said it to me perfectly in the press box. Steve could be your Kelly Bryant.
Absolutely.
You can beat him. You're so much more talented than everybody you played. You can get to that level, but you are not getting past the first round.
You're not beating Alabama in that.
And that's why I say is I do think the decision matters to me. Now, why I was trying to get clarification is because if you're talking about between Kenny and CJ, I agree with you. I don't care which one of those wins that job. Mm-hmm. Because I think they both have special arm talent. I do. Yeah. I think they both have special minds. The thing that CJ and Kenny both have been praised for when they were in high school – and since they've been to Notre Dame, is their ability to process mentally.
Quickly. Yes.
Right? You need that. If you're not going to have a 6'6", big-armed guy, or a Lamar Jackson, Riley Leonard, Jaden Daniels, like some kind of guy that's just a dynamic playmaker, if you're not going to have one of those two things, mm-hmm. I need a great processor.
Yeah.
You know, I need a great point guard. I need a talent. I don't want a point guard that's smart. Like, I don't want – I'm going to say this to make fun of you, Sean, a little bit. I don't want Billy Donovan at Providence as my point guard. Yes, he was good for Rick Pitino. He could get you the Final Four, but when he got to the Final Four, you were going to get out-athleted. I can take a John Stockton point guard.
You know what I mean? You can look at the championship game. Braden Smith is fine for the Big Ten.
Right.
But when he goes up against Newton
and that's Castle? My thing, yes. Right? Like, I need a point guard that is talented.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is why there is a difference between Kenny and CJ and then Steve, is because Steve's a great kid. He's smart. He's got swagger. But there are limitations to him as a player that you don't have with Kenny and CJ.
Facts.
And that's why I do care. And don't, you know, like it can be easy sometimes to take the third year guy that knows the offense and has the moxie and he's the locker room loves him. I get all that. But you're not winning a title with that guy.
Yeah. So basically we're basically discussing the backup, right?
Right. Well, no, because why are we talking about that? Because your starter right now can't play because of an injury.
Right.
And
right.
He plays an aggressive style of play where you're always in, whether it's Riley Leonard, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson when he was at Louisville, whatever the case may be. When you have that kind of player quarterback, you're always one hit away from having to go something else.
Right.
And that's why it especially matters, but it also matters because whoever that guy is now goes into next spring in pole position to be the dude in 2025.
Yeah.
And that's my whole thing is like why it matters to me is I hope, knock on wood, that neither Kenny nor CJ nor Steve have to start a single game this season. That's my hope.
That would be the perfect world.
Right. But the reason that I think it matters to make sure you make that right pick now and in fall camp is because if that moment comes, you got to give your team the best chance to go win a championship. But it also puts you in position to say, okay, are you truly going to build around this guy and get this guy the necessary reps in practice as the number two and in games as number two to get him ready to be your dude in 25? Because if Notre Dame, I'm just going to be honest with you, if Notre Dame makes the decision this year to go with the veteran because he gives us the best chance to come off the bench and rally to a victory, then you're going to basically, we're going to be back to square one next spring and you're going to be looking for a portal guy again. Because what's the mantra going to be, Sean? Well, these guys don't have enough experience.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't played enough. I don't want to hear that next year. Whoever of those two young guys proves to be the better guy, give that guy every opportunity to win that number two job. That's my point. And today was a perfect example of that. Is some of this confirmation bias to a degree? Yes. But my bias comes from evaluating the film.
Yeah.
And seeing the limitations that one guy has compared to the other two. And that's why, to me, it does matter. And today was a perfect example. And that's why I'm still – the one disappointment I have, as I said, is that we didn't get a chance to see CJ or Kenny get to do some of the things that CJ was able to because he didn't have time.
He didn't have time.
You know, so yeah.
– But I think – the one thing I did like is the way they started practice and how they mixed things up, not just at quarterback, but even at receiver. And even on the last drive wasn't given to one guy. It was two plays for CJ. Then I think it was two plays for Kenny. And then it was Steve that came in. Or was it three plays for each? It was either two or three plays.
Yeah,
each.
Before the last drive.
Before
It was three for CJ.
Yeah.
He had the and on that one, he had the miss. So CJ's went, he had the miss read to Deion Colsey, the good read, but the bad ball. Mm-hmm. Then they ran counter for a play, and then on the next play got sacked, and it was like it overwhelmed him.
Yeah.
And Kenny came in, and they basically ran the ball three times. Now, they had a pass play called on second and five, but that's the one where Kenny made the correct pre-snap check. He saw that they were going to crash the backside.
Yeah.
And they were going to come off. They were bringing pressure off both edges on second and five. Kenny saw it. He made a check, immediately brought the tight end down, and then the defense adjusted by bringing another guy down, and Kenny then brought in the slot receiver, and they ran right inside the double blitz.
Yeah.
And that was the best mental thing we saw from Kenny all day,
and
one of the few times we got a chance to really see him do that. But there was like another play. He hit the hitch route to K.K. Smith, allowed K.K. to square it up, get the 10 yards on a four-yard down-the-field throw. We just didn't get a chance to see him do enough of the post-snap, go to your number three. I can't think of a single snap where Kenny would have had time to find his third guy like CJ did.
Yeah.
I can't think of one.
That second to last series you're talking about, that was when they went for it on fourth down, I believe, and they got the turnover on downs. It was the back.
No, they did. Yeah. They went for it on third and one.
Third and one.
Get it.
Didn't get it on the snap.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, and that was actually a pretty good recovery on that play because the ball got snapped into the ground. Kenny got it, lifted it up, and got the handoff. They would have if the snap would have been good, they'd have moved the chain.
Been first down, yeah.
But I think it was more of a 3-3. Yeah. I don't know that it was a full series or not because otherwise, why not go for it on 4th and inches or even measure? I thought it was close enough to close first enough. Down.
Yeah.
And Steve came in, incomplete pass, 3-yard scramble on a RPO, incomplete pass, scramble. And then I think, wasn't there a penalty? And that's what got him the first down.
I'm trying to remember how they got the first down.
But then you hit a corner route. He hit a corner route to Jaden Greathouse, which was his best ball of the day. He hit a little 10-yard completion on an option cut to Jaden Greathouse where he had that was the play where Cooper Flanagan was open up the seam. And then you had a 5-yard scramble by Steve that probably would have been a sack. That was the one where Boubacar was probably a sack, and they let Steve run with it. And then they ran inside zone next play, and then the next play they threw the sprint out play, and Steve threw it right to Jalen Snead's chest.
Yes.
So that's kind of how – it's kind of how it played out today. But the thing that you and I talked about, Sean, at the end of the day, you know what we realized is Notre Dame, and this is the point you were making. And now that I think we're on the same page, because you're saying if I read you correctly, you don't care how it plays out between the two younger guys. We're on the same page there. And today was a chance for us to kind of see CJ play in that moment and Kenny play in that moment. And just watching him throw it. I mean, you guys have a thing on your show, you know, we spin it different. Mm-hmm. And that's what I say whenever I see Kenny and CJ. They just spin it different. And I'm talking about something completely different. But when you just watch those kids throw, the arm speed, the release, everything is fast with them. It just comes out fast. It gets on the receivers fast. And it's just different, man. There's just a different level of talent. And it's not a knock on the other kid. He's a great kid. The locker room loves him. The team loves him. And that's all fine and dandy. But this isn't a homecoming king thing. This is a championship football thing.
He's a great Notre Dame story.
Yes, he is.
Like, if you really go into who he was last spring and who he is today and who he still has play that he can get better at, especially when it comes to, like we talked about, pre-snap, post-snap, being more efficient, and being comfortable being who you are and playing your game.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be good enough to win college football games. I don't care how it plays out in the beginning, I don't. Mm-hmm. Because eventually I know the two younger guys, I don't think he can hold them off.
But they need the work.
You know, and they're getting the blessing work of Riley Leonard not being there is that they're getting, especially CJ.
Now they're getting
more work. Absolutely. Yes.
But
absolutely.
I'm talking about when they get into fall.
Yeah.
And you've got your one and your two.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to need that work.
That is.
But there's some final takeaway, Sean. Boy, there's some talent in the quarterback room, the running back room, the receiver room, the tight end room, the O-line room, the D-line room, the linebacker room, the corner room. Safety still a little bit of a question mark, but we're waiting on some kids to show up. But the dude, but that's also a position where you might have your best defensive player on your football team right now. You know what I mean? So that's the fun part about what we saw today, Sean. We did have a couple super chats I want to get to before we get out of here, Sean. We had one from God's Thumbs. Thank you so much for the super chat. Do you think Benjamin Morrison would sit if there's nothing to play for but a mid-tier bowl a la Kyle Hamilton? Would he sit out the bowl game? Yes, I think he would sit out the bowl game. Do I think that he would sit out the season like Kyle did? I don't think so because he's in a different situation than Kyle. Kyle was considered a lock to be a top 10 or 15 pick. Benjamin needs next season to force himself into being a top 10 or 15 pick. It's a completely different situation. So that would surprise me a little bit. Now, if Benjamin plays, you know, 10 games and he's an All-American and he has an injury that, you know, and they're 7-3, sure, I can maybe see that. But it's a different situation.
Kyle was by far the best safety in the class. And Benjamin's
right, exactly.
He's in a competitive
right, exactly. class. At exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, that could be the difference when you're getting picked eighth and getting picked 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And you need those games to do that. Kyle was not going to get out of the top 15.
No.
I mean, him falling to 14 was considered a shock.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was the fact that he sat out half the season. I do. You know, because if you really think about it, Kyle Hamilton had one full season of college football as a starter. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2020.
Yeah.
And so it's different circumstances. But, no, I don't think that that would be the case. But hopefully we're not talking about – hopefully we never have to find out – because we're not, and not even talking about Benjamin not getting hurt again, because I don't want that. But if we're talking about Notre Dame being a mid-tier bowl midway through the season, that'd be disappointing. Yeah. And let's, but here's the other thing. He said nothing left to play for but a mid-tier bowl a la Kyle Hamilton. Notre Dame played the freaking Fiesta Bowl that year, guys. That was not a mid-tier bowl. That's what kind of bothered me about Kyle's decision is like Notre Dame at the time was still competing for something.
Yeah.
You know, like they were, what was it? Oklahoma, Baylor beating Oklahoma State away from possibly being a college football playoff team that mm-hmm. year. Kyle sat out with Notre Dame having a chance at the playoff. They finished fifth. That's a different animal than what happened with, because it was Notre Dame needed, wasn't it? No, they needed Oklahoma State to beat Baylor.
Right.
And they needed the SEC title game, I think, to go the opposite way.
Go a certain way. Yep.
Yeah. I think it was like they needed Georgia. They needed Georgia to beat Bama.
Yeah.
Because that would have been loss number two for Bama. They'd have been out.
Yep.
And so, and then the Big 12 game went the way they needed it to, if I remember correctly. And then, of course, Bama got smoked by Georgia.
Right.
No, it would have been loss number two for Georgia in 2021. No. Bama won the title game. It would have been loss number. Hold on a second.
No,
this
no,
is
no.
going to bother me.
Georgia won the title game. Bama,
but it had been loss number SEC two for network. Bama, right?
I think so.
It would have been loss number two for Bama.
Yeah,
I think. Yes, because Bama lost to A&M that year. That's right. So it would have been loss number two for Bama. Georgia was undefeated. They would have been in the playoff. It had been Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, and then Notre Dame or Baylor, if I remember correctly. And then when Oklahoma State won, that helped. And then, of course, the SEC title game didn't play. Or it might have been they needed Baylor to beat Oklahoma State. I'd have to go back and look at that one again. But they needed the Big 12 game. No, they needed Baylor to beat Oklahoma State. Because Baylor had two losses. Oklahoma State had one.
Mm-hmm.
No, that can't be right. Yeah, they needed. That's what they needed. And then that's exactly what happened. Baylor beat Oklahoma State to give them a second loss. That's what happened. I remember now. They needed Baylor to beat Oklahoma State, or Oklahoma State to beat Baylor.
Because that was Oklahoma State got tackled at the half-yard line.
Yes, they needed Baylor to beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And that happened. And you are correct. It happened like guy got tackled. And then they needed Georgia to beat Bama.
Yeah.
And they would have been in the playoff.
Yeah.
And Kyle Hamilton decided that wasn't enough for him to come back and play for. But it is what it is. It's worked out well for him. He's having a heck of an NFL career. And the reality is Notre Dame would have gone to the playoff that year and got smoked. I mean, it's not like if Kyle would have played and they would have made the playoff, they'd have had a shot to win because of Kyle. They got smoked by whoever they would have played.
Right.
Because it would have been Georgia. They would have got in as the four seed. They'd have played Georgia, I believe, in round one. Right? That was not going to go well.
Yeah.
Garen Nutson with a super chat. Thank you, Garen. During past blue gold games, some of the young QBs did not wear red, i.e., Tyler Buchner 2021, Angeli in 22-23. Will Freeman have any young QBs not wear red for the blue gold game? What are the benefits to both sides of the ball when we do this? Well, Sean, what are your thoughts on this? Quarterbacks wearing red in the spring game.
Look, I don't want my quarterbacks touched at all until it's time to rock and roll. That's me. I am very, when it comes to the quarterback, you know, if you want them to go live, I mean, it's football, man. They can wear a red jersey and take a wrong step and twist the ankle, mess up a knee. So, you know, you do your best you can to protect your quarterbacks. And I think either way, I think the discussion is going to be, hey, take care of each other, which was one of the best things to come out of today's practice. Like, everyone seemingly came out going into the blue and gold.
So, I'm a little different. I don't care about veteran quarterbacks showing me anything in a blue gold game. I don't need to see Riley Leonard, even if he was 100% healthy, wearing anything but a red jersey. I don't. Same with Sam Hartman last year. I didn't even see Jack Cone getting hit. I think in a situation where you've got younger players like Kenny, CJ, and Steve to a degree, I think they kind of need that knowledge that I can get hit.
Yeah.
You know, this is, again, I can get tackled. You know, look, reality is quarterbacks are a little more likely to step in and throw a ball with pressure coming when they know they can't get hit.
Right.
Right? Right. So how do we know that some of those great throws CJ made today, he would have still made if he knew he could get hit between the numbers? He
had that jersey. Yeah.
He may have. I'm saying we don't know. That's the whole point. We don't know that.
And it might sped him up a little more.
Right. Maybe he makes a mistake. Maybe he sails the ball. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's good to have those type of moments because, you know, let's see what he can do. Mm-hmm. Now, what I would say is when they get in space, I'd blow a quick whistle. But in the pocket, I'd want to kind of take the red jersey off and let him play a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what it does for the defense is it can create some bad habits. I mean, you get used to kind of running by the quarterback and taking a wider angle and patting them on the butt instead of teaching them the things they need to do. I mean, you don't think Al Washington's group needs to have practice on the strip sacks? You know what I mean? Like, so I'm a former quarterback. I just, there's, I want to see them play, even if it's just for the first half. And then second half, you put the red jersey on. I still want to see it. But that's my two cents on it. And then we also had a super chat from Ryan Elliott. Ryan, thank you very, very much for that. So, Sean, that's going to do it for today's show, man.
Oh, yo, you got to get love. Yo, we've got to get love to Josiah Kia. He had a big time play, too.
No, it was Kahanu Kia.
Was it Kahanu? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he
I said Josiah.
He missed the tackle. But, man, he flew downhill on that play.
Yes, he did.
He showed me a little bit of quickness on it. Yes, you were correct. We forgot about Kahanu on that play. And this is a kid that hasn't played football in 2 years.
Right. And so, this is like third string. Like,
right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
he flew downhill, man. That was impressive.
It's some athleticism
Anybody else that we didn't mention today?
No, I think we mentioned. I think we both. You mentioned Sullivan. I think Sullivan actually really stood out in the run game, second half of practice.
Did you see they had him at guard on that last series with the twos?
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yes.
They flipped him and Ty Chan. They put Ty Chan out at left tackle and put him at left guard.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to read into it any more than that. Just leave it at that.
There I see the smile already coming through. Yeah.
I said in the show the other day with Ryan, I was like, man, I would love someday to see a left side of the line of Charles Jagasaw and Sullivan Absher, man. That would be
Talk about big boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, everybody. Thank you all for being with us today. We'll be back on Monday. I believe, Sean, you and Ryan are going to be doing a recruiting hour on Monday because we have the big visits this weekend. So you definitely want to check that out. Make sure you sign up for the message boards. I got that team intel last night. Ryan's going to start getting in tonight or tomorrow. Some recruiting updates as well from the weekend, plus my breakdown of the today's practice. So definitely check that out at boards.irishbreakdown.com. Hit that like, folks. Hit the subscribe. Hit the notification bell. Share this podcast. Give us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate all that good stuff. And again, if you haven't done so, I'm telling you, the boards, if you're not on them, you're missing out. Sean's on them. I'm obviously on them. A lot of people in the chat are on them. But if you're not on them, I'm telling you guys, you're missing out. And it's a great way for you to support what we're doing at Irish Breakdown. So have a great rest of your Saturday, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you all again very, very soon on the Irish Breakdown podcast.